detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon. It's 4:01, and I'm Pat Smith. The program, It's the Law. And those of you who know me know I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County, and my practice is limited to family law and related matters. And so we don't want to always talk about family law, although today there is an interesting case that I will be talking to you about briefly that certainly some people would be interested in, especially if they're paying alimony. But before we do get to the program, let me talk about the weather. I guess there's not much to talk about other than rain, rain, rain. And I will talk to you briefly about the weather as soon as I play this ad from a sponsor, which will let me have time to get the weather up because obviously I'm having a little trouble.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Well, hi again. It's Pat Smith, and I'm going to talk to you about the weather, which is not going to be very nice this weekend. It's been raining today, so most of us know that. Tonight, 70% chance of showers, so we can expect it's going to be raining tonight. Low only about 47 degrees, so it's not going to get as cold as it's been. Tomorrow, again, there's a 40% chance of showers. Looks pretty much like showers tomorrow. And then mostly cloudy tomorrow night, then scattered showers on Saturday night into Sunday, begin the day with scattered showers, and then it should be mostly sunny and high of about 69 degrees. So that's going to be welcome because let's remember, if you don't know it, Sunday is Mother's Day. So as a family law attorney, I certainly recommend that all you guys out there make sure to remember it's Mother's Day and don't just talk about the fact, well, your wife is not your mother. Think about that and make sure that she's recognized if, in fact, she's a mother. So what happens on Sunday night? Again, partly cloudy, low of about 43 degrees, and then mostly sunny on Monday with a high of about 69 degrees. So that's what we're facing over the weekend. I know we need rain, but I think most of us would like to see it warm up, and the sunny weather will be, of course, appreciated, especially for all those people who have to work outside during this weather. So I'll be back in just a moment. I want to make sure that I get a couple other spots played, and then we'll be back to talk about the law.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, hello again. It's Pat Smits, and today, believe it or not, is May 6th. Remember, Sunday, Mother's Day. Well, let's talk about some of the things that are happening in legal news. And one of the things that I think every parent should be concerned about and aware of is the fact that every public school in New Jersey is now under orders to test for lead in their water supplies. And this follows the discovery of elevated levels of lead in several Newark school facilities earlier this year. And so now, in addition to that, of course, the school districts across the state now face potential litigation. But let's remember, the most important thing is to make sure that these tests are done properly, and that there is not lead in the water supplies that our kids are drinking. And I guess actually those of us with wells should also make sure that we get our wells tested. I think probably many of us just neglect to do that. At least our water here in Hunterdon County tastes great, and I guess I'm going to have to go back and check records to see when we had it tested. Usually that happens when people sell homes or buy homes, but we don't always think about that at other times. So I think that's an important to make sure that although your school has to have the water tested, find out when. And hopefully it's sooner before school is out for the summer. Well, the there's some lawyers challenging Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield, their controversial insurance plan, and their various approaches. Some attacks the hinge on public policy, while others sound in contract tort law. But the end game remains the same, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about that. Now, it's interesting, well, for some people. Apparently, the court upholds Kenneth Cole's bid to control company. A New York Court of Appeals adopted a new approach Thursday, meaning yesterday, for reviewing challenges to the fairness of proposals to take public companies private. So most of us, you know, usually think about private companies going public. This is the reverse. So what else as far as one of the cases that just came out today, interesting, it was a criminal law case with respect to motor vehicles. And in this case, State v. Sutherland, an appellate court decision. The police officer stopped the defendant's car because one of four taillights was not illuminated. Now, this is, and I shouldn't say it's a scheme, but, you know, if you don't want to be pulled over, make sure that all of your taillights are working. And what happened in the case is the law division granted the defendant's motion to suppress, finding that that the statute only required one functioning taillight on each side, and the officer's mistake rendered the stop unreasonable. Now, obviously, this was done because the officer obviously searched the car and found something. But the appellate division reversed the trial court And they noted that confusing state of that Title 39, and they concluded that the officer had reasonable and articulable, I can never say that word, he could articulate his suspicion of a motor vehicle violation. So therefore, the search and whatever contents he found were in fact admissible. There was another case that said that the defendant was not entitled to a jury instruction on attempted passion provocation manslaughter because the facts before the trial court did not clearly indicate that the elements of attempted passion provocation manslaughter were present. In particular, in that case, the court found that there was insufficient evidence before the jury to demonstrate that a reasonable person in defendant's position would have been adequately provoked by the victim's behavior. So, obviously, passion slash provocation is one of the defenses that are often used in order to have a finding of manslaughter rather than more serious. But in this case, the court said that there was not sufficient evidence before the jury to even demonstrate that any reasonable person, and that's one of the things we always have to take a look at, what would a reasonable person in the defendant's position, would they have been provoked by the victim's behavior? And that is very important in defending these cases and, in fact, in other words, you can't have a short trigger and use this kind of a defense. Excuse me, just 1 minute. I'm going to play a little spot while I try to clear my throat here.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Okay, I'm back. Hopefully, I've got the frog out of my throat. But I thought it was interesting because this week there are actually two cases that dealt with termination of alimony upon cohabitation. And one of the cases which would be of interest to anyone paying alimony who thinks their former spouse is cohabiting is the case Quinn v. Quinn. And this was a Supreme Court case in New Jersey written by Judge Cuff, who is the appellate judge who has been sitting on the Supreme Court because there has been a vacancy for a long time, which has now been filled. But in any event, this is Judge Cuff's written decision. And what was important in this case is that the parties had an agreement to terminate alimony upon cohabitation. So this is what the Supreme Court said, that an agreement to terminate alimony upon cohabitation entered by fully informed parties represented by independent counsel, meaning independent attorneys, and without any evidence of overreaching, fraud, or coercion is enforceable. And they said that the trial court was required to apply the remedy of termination as fashioned by the parties. So in this case, the parties' agreement, the parties' contract, was extremely important on this issue. But remember, what the parties in the Quinn case did is they agreed that payment of alimony would terminate upon the wife's cohabitation. So what that means is that, that's something that people try to negotiate, can't always negotiate, and if they can't negotiate, then the fallback is that it has to go before a court, plenary hearing. Some courts grant it, some courts don't. But this is a significant case in New Jersey for those of us who represent men and women in matrimonial cases. Now, there's another family law case that was decided by the appellate division this week dealing with a similar issue, same issue, actually. And in this case, the former husband appealed the family court, meaning the trial court's order that denied his request to compel additional discovery from his former wife relating to cohabitation issues that could affect his ongoing obligation to pay alimony. Now, what happened in that case is the trial judge denied his request because the judge found that the former husband had not made what we call a prima facie showing of cohabitation that would justify such full discovery and the attendant intrusion upon his former wife's privacy. Now, as part of his legal argument in that case, the former husband also challenged the motion judge's rulings concerning hearsay. Now, in this case, the appellate division affirmed the motion judge's determination, finding that either the statutory definition of cohabitation or the prior definition established in case law, under either one of those, in this particular case, the former husband did not present sufficient evidence in support of his claim of cohabitation. And he failed to provide or present evidence that the finances of his former wife and her significant other were intertwined, or that she was financially dependent upon the significant other, or that they shared household chores. Now, obviously, this is an almost impossible burden for him to prove without trying to get more discovery, but that's their decision. Now, further, the appellate division found that the potential applicability of the adoptive admissions exception to hearsay rule was inconsequential, because even if all the Facebook materials showing the former wife's activities with her significant other were provided by the husband and were considered, the trial court still properly found that the former husband simply had not presented a basic case. That's what this means. And therefore, the trial court did not misapply its authority in declining the demand for full discovery. Now, these are really tough cases because it's extremely difficult for someone paying alimony to get the type of information that they need in order to prove cohabitation and prove that finances are intertwined unless they are able to obtain records and discovery. So we don't have more information exactly on this, except that we do know that the appellate division in that case upheld the trial judge. Now, it seems to me what I would usually say, that if in fact the trial judge had compelled additional discovery of the former wife, the appellate division, I think, would have, under the circumstances, upheld that also. So that is two situations. Now, of course, the parties in this case obviously did not have an agreement that said if the wife cohabits, alimony terminates. At least I don't think they did. I haven't had a chance to read the case in full, which I will do. But that was not mentioned at all. So there are more things that have to go on other than simply cohabitation to terminate alimony, unless, in fact, the parties agree that it will be terminated upon cohabitation. And I will say that's a very difficult thing to get in the way of an agreement. Now, what happens if you want documents prepared by a healthcare facility that they have to file with the Department of Health? When they have to file them with the Department of Health following incidents in which a patient is injured or dies, well, the in New Jersey, the appellate division ruled that these documents that must be filed are not subject to discovery in medical malpractice cases. So in other words, even though these reports have to be submitted whenever there's some kind of an incident, meaning that a patient is injured or dies, even though these incident reports must be filed with the State Department of Health, they don't have to, and they're not going to be turned over to attorneys who are handling a medical malpractice case. And that's true, according to the court, even if the facility failed to comply with reporting requirements. So in other words, even if they didn't do what they had to do as far as reporting, the appellate division said, nope, you're not entitled to get them. Now, there's a suit claiming that a whistleblower law firm, Phillips and Cohen, prompted a client to steal internal documents from his employer. And his employer was a manufacturer of plastic pipe, currently the subject of federal Quantum litigation. And apparently this has hit a dead end as the New Jersey Supreme Court declined to take up the matter. And, of course, anyone who listens to me probably remembers that I've said that the Supreme Court decides what cases to take, unless there is a division in the appellate division. So, for example, if the appellate division, two judges want to uphold what happened at trial and one does not, then there is an automatic right to have it heard by the Supreme Court, and vice versa. But that's the only situation. Well, there's certain other things that are of right get heard by the Supreme Court, but most cases don't. And so, in this case, the New Jersey Supreme Court declined to take up the matter. And so they're not going to deal with whether or not this firm prompted a client to steal these internal documents. Now there's a antitrust is something that we don't usually deal with, and I don't even usually talk about, but there's a Sanofi, which is one of the employers in the area, had a case that they basically won because under the tenet that antitrust laws are here to protect competition and not competitors, the Third Circuit, which includes New Jersey, has rejected a competitor's claim that Sanofi Aventis had unfair advantage over the anticoagulant drug market. And so that what the court said is, wait a minute, what we have is we can protect competition, but this antitrust does not protect competitors. There is, in fact, a distinction. Well, the creditor and debtor rights case that was at least interesting to me. There was a collection action, and the plaintiff, which was Mercer Bucks Orthopedics, alleged that it had provided medical treatment to the defendant, Covell, in 2013, and that the defendant's insurance company had made a partial payment, and that the defendant had made a partial payment. However, there was still an outstanding balance which it sought to collect. And so the plaintiff, Mercer Bucks, filed a complaint asserting claims for breach of contract, account stated, and unjust enrichment. Now, in this case, Mr. Covell, the defendant, moved for summary judgment, contending that he had no contract with the plaintiff. Now, the court denied the defendant's motion for summary judgment without a hearing and granted the plaintiff's, that's Mercer Bucks, cross motion for summary judgment without addressing the defendant's claim that he had requested but never received a complete billing statement from the plaintiff. So he said he never received a complete billing statement from the plaintiff. Now, the alleged discrepancy relating to the name on the bills or the defendant's challenge to the bills. Now, defendant filed a motion for reconsideration and oral argument, which was denied. He then filed a notice of appeal, and he hand-delivered a letter addressed to the trial court informing the court of the appeal. The trial court then scheduled a hearing for oral argument and to supplement the record, to which defendant responded that the time to supplement the record had elapsed. So defendant's attorney appeared, but the defendant did not. The court concluded that the defendant had sent notice of the appeal to the clerk, but not to the judge, and therefore rejected defendant's argument. It then found that the issue of defendant not receiving periodic bills had been resolved because defendant produced the bills during the litigation and thus proved his awareness of them. Now, it is also noted that it was able to follow the billing statements and the amount due on them without any trouble. So the plaintiff found that the defendant's defendant properly requested and was entitled to oral argument on his motion for summary judgment and on plaintiff's cross motion for summary judgment, and that the trial court should have set forth in its opinion its reasoning for disposing of the motion on the papers. And then the appellate division also found that the defendant's motion for reconsideration should have been granted because the trial court overlooked and seemed to not have all of the documents necessary to make that decision. So that is another what happens procedurally when someone, when their case is dismissed and they don't think it should be. Now, good news. Governor Christie, on May 3rd, he nominated a Salem County litigator to the Superior Court bench and then nominated three sitting judges for tenure. So thank goodness that stalemate is and seems to be resolved, because there are a lot of very good judges out there that should be granted tenure. And if, in fact, they're not good, then people have an opportunity to go to a hearing. They have an opportunity to make their views known on any particular judge who's going up for tenure. So, but unless they're renominated by the governor, they're not even going to have that opportunity. They're not going to have an opportunity for a hearing before the Judiciary Committee. So I've told you about Quinn versus Quinn, which is really very important for anyone who's going to argue over alimony if, in fact, there's clear information in the agreement that alimony will be terminated upon cohabitation, this will be what happens, provided that there's been no overreaching, parties know what they're doing, parties have been represented by counsel, etc. Well, I see that it's 4:30, and let's take a bit of a break and see what's happening in the news. Okay. Before that, I'm going to play a spot from one of our sponsors, and then we'll play the news break.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
It's fine. What he can do, whatever he wants to do, it's fine. But I was surprised by it. And by the way, many other people were surprised by it. And some were really surprised by it and not happy about it.
That's Donald Trump, who says the lack of backing from House Speaker Paul Ryan caught him off guard yesterday. But in typical Trump fashion, he's hitting back. A spokesperson for Trump, Katrina Pearson, told CNN that Ryan is not fit to remain Speaker if he can't get behind the likely Republican presidential nominee. Pearson says Ryan bears more responsibility to unify the party than Trump does. Trump has also said that he has no interest in helping Ryan push his agenda through Congress. Security is being tightened at the American Embassy in Baghdad, CNN reporting that 25 heavily armed Marines arrived at the embassy this morning. The heightened security comes amid continued anti-government demonstrations in Iraq's capital city. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphrey. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
Hi, we're back. It's the program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits, and telling you a little bit about some of the legal news this week. One of the things that people don't understand is that funds in trust accounts with lawyers, we have very, very strict regulations here in New Jersey about dealing with money in trust, and it's very easy to get disbarred. And if you're disbarred in New Jersey, and I'm talking about easy to get disbarred, if at all you don't borrow money, if the attorney borrows money from the trust account or does other things that are not appropriate. So that one of the things people say is, well, can I really trust my attorney to keep that much in a bank account? And the answer should be, and I think almost always is, yes. But there is a case where, and this was a matter of Frank J. Cazzarelli, and it was Supreme Court decision, said there was clear and convincing evidence that the respondent attorney knowingly misappropriated client funds and that his mental illness did not cause him to suffer a loss of competency, a comprehension, or will that excused his misconduct. There was nothing to excuse his misconduct when it occurred. And so in this case, he was not entitled to mitigation and was disbarred. So there are other, pursuant to this contract case where pursuant to the plaintiff's desire to join defendant's junior hockey club, the parties entered into a contract that included a code of conduct that plaintiff was obligated to follow as a member of the club. So I guess anybody who's joining clubs or is a member of the club should look, in fact, at what that contract includes and whether it includes a code of conduct. So in this case, the parties recognized that it did. And defendants subsequently found... I'm missing what I'm reading here. Or I was reading from something, and it's not making any sense. So let me see if I can try that again. In this case, the agreement also required non-refundable payments by the plaintiff to the club to cover certain related costs. And defendants subsequently found that plaintiff had violated certain provisions of the code of conduct and removed him from the club. Plaintiff filed a suit seeking to return his payment to the defendant, and defendant filed an answer and counterclaim seeking payment of the remaining monies owed by the plaintiff pursuant to the contract. Now, what happened here is the trial judge found that the defendant used the breaches of the code as an excuse to terminate the contract, and that defendant failed to provide preponderance of evidence. What the court then did is order the defendant to return the monies paid by the plaintiff, except for $500, which the court decided which the court calculated as payment for plaintiff's stay at the marital home. So on remand, the defendants appeal, that's exactly what would happen. It would be remanded back to the trial court, and then the trial court had to find, if it determined that the defendant had materially breached the contract by removing the defendant and depriving him of the benefit of play, then the if in fact the court found that the defendant had materially breached the contract by removing the defendant and depriving him of the benefit of playing for that hockey club, that then could be a reason to vote for this. A very good reason, as a matter of fact. Okay, so let's, we're kind of wrapping down the bottom of the second half of the hour here. So let me tell you who I want to tell you about as far as people who sponsor this program. I'd like to give them a shout out and a thanks and let you hear from a couple of them.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Kowicki & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, we're back. I'm Pat Smits, talking about some of the cases and legal news this week. It's not unusual to have employment litigation. This was a case, an appellate division case, where the plaintiff, the person who sued, is a former member of the Waterford Police Department, and he appealed a trial court's de novo decision sustaining a hearing officer's findings of disciplinary violations. So first of all, there was a hearing officer. Then the trial court heard it from the beginning with no prior findings. And then it came up to the appellate division. And so all of these appeals, of course. So what was the basis? Well, it was the hearing officer found that there were disciplinary violations, including false time reports, failure to report prescription drugs, surreptitious tape recording of fellow officers, and insubordination and untruthfulness. And also they said that the decision to reject the hearing officer's recommendation, 6 months suspension, and also due to terminate his decision to reject the hearing officer's representation. So the panel found that the plaintiff in this case failed to explain how a surreptitious recording was connected with his claimed conduct pursuant to the Conscientious Employer Protection Act. And so that was another case about breakdown of communications, what is so important in legal cases. And in fact, sometimes in talking about breakdown of communication, it's important that the client communicates with the lawyer. It's also very important for lawyers to communicate with one another. So the now there were, and I don't know the particulars of this particular lawsuit, but I know that a federal judge in Trenton has dismissed civil rights claims brought against 14 New Jersey Superior Court judges. So the federal judge in Trenton, I think I mentioned this earlier, has dismissed civil rights claims, and these claims were brought against 14 New Jersey Superior Court judges by a group of fathers who alleged that their due process rights were violated in child custody proceedings. So now, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the need to find a Supreme Court justice. I was very pleased. I think it was last week that I indicated that, in fact, no, it was the week before, because last week we had photos. I was very pleased last week to find out that we were dealing with you know, some good people here. And finally we got someone who's going to be joining our Supreme Court, and we're not finding anyone who's really criticizing new Justice Walter Timpone's lawyering skills. If there's anything at all, any questions at all. Anyway, they're not being, he's not being questioned by lawyers, and having lawyering skills, obviously he doesn't have any judicial experience, so his first work is in fact working to get that court back in, well, what should I say? He's got to get back there and help unify the court so they can move past what was pretty ugly, when you think that the governor did not give someone from his own party the assistance she needed. And that is assistance to make life better in the small towns in Mexico. Well, there was, you know, do funeral homes get sued? I guess so, because I have one case reported now. Palladino versus Michael Hagerty funeral homes. So, what is this? The defendant. Okay. That was a complaint where the plaintiff filed a complaint against defendants alleging that she had arranged with the defendants for her mother's funeral. This was this woman against Hagerty. So, what are we going to talk about next? Well, we're getting kind of down to the end of the hour. I think I'm running out of wind to some extent. I think we've already talked about the fact that we talked about the suit, I believe the suit against the ex-NFL players. Okay, what else? Well, now there was a case where an attorney was accused of misappropriated. Well, he actually was accused of misappropriating as much as $400,000 from an elderly relative's estate. So, what happened is the misappropriating as much as $400,000 from an elderly relative's estate, and he was found not liable for damages even after the court found an interference of mismanagement or misuse of the funds. So, this is... he's not liable for damages. So there's talk about a controversial federal bankruptcy attorney. Now, Bill Cosby's attempt to get notes and outtakes from New York Magazine's report. Okay, that's, well, all right. Now, what happened, there's a division of taxation case against Kraft Foods. And so what the... Okay, so what else is happening on this this day. Well, not too much. Let me play a few more. One thing that the justices have in a sharply divided court that was ruled at the end of last week. Attorneys can be held liable for counsel fees if they have intentionally breached their fiduciary duty to non-clients. Now, that is a real far-reaching case, believe me, because now we have to be concerned that third parties will be in on some kind of a lawsuit. So, back in a couple minutes.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, back for a couple minutes, and then I'll play the news. Let's see what else. But Acting Attorney General Robert Lubi told the Senate Budget and Appropriations Committee on yesterday that the Department of Law and Public Safety brought in more than $451 million in awards in civil cases in 2015. Well, that's a big number. Of course, it'd be interesting to see what the budget of the AG's office is and how many attorneys they had that did it. In other words, do they have 451 attorneys? Well, then it's a million each. Pretty significant. But I think you have to look at a statistic like that over a period of time. In other words, the next quarter, the next year could be significantly different. And I told you about the Quinn case, of course, and that anybody you know who's paying alimony and has any type of agreement that alimony will terminate if, in fact, the wife does ex-wife cohabits. It's an important case for them to look at. I'm just trying to see if there are some other things that might be of interest to my general listening audience. And I'm not saying that you aren't sophisticated, because in fact you are, but some of these cases are just too confusing. I'd have a hard time if I was reading every word and trying to explain them to someone else. But there is, well, there was something that people could have a problem with. And in this case, the plaintiffs filed an action against the borough of Rutherford and its tax collector because they alleged that the tax collector refused to provide plaintiffs with the proper amount to redeem a tax sale certificate on their property and also refused to accept a check to timely redeem the property. Now, they asserted, I guess they asserted claims for, among other things, violations to a federal statute and to the 1995 case. And this was a 1995 civil rights case. And they asserted claims, among other things, that the federal statute was violated and that the 4th, 5th, and 14th amendments to the federal constitution and the New Jersey Civil Rights Act. And then they asserted claims for negligently or recklessly failing to train or supervise the tax collector, borough tax collector, in each state. So, now there was another employment compliance case, Peters, and that was the Board of Review of the Appellate Division. And in this case, the plaintiff, who was discharged from his position as a bus driver after 8 accidents in 2 years, he appealed the board's decision affirming the earlier trial dismissal. And the okay. Let's talk about one more thing here, and then we'll go to the news. And this one was important to attorneys, and that is in Inns v. Lesnovich, the Supreme Court held that defendant's attorneys can be held liable for counsel fees if, as trustees and escrow agents for both parties in a case, they intentionally breach their fiduciary obligation to one of them by releasing a child's United States passport to the mother without the father's permission. So that was a well-known firm here in New Jersey, and it was unfortunate. But what happened is they took over a case from another attorney, and the other attorney had the child's passport that, and I don't remember who the attorney was, but I think it was a man, that he was required to hold. And when the case was turned over to the new law firm, at some point, the mother requested the passport. The law firm gave her the child's passport, and she ended up absconding with the child to the other country, which I think may have been so that they were held liable for the counsel fees. So this is shows how important it is for attorneys to, you know, be very careful with trust funds. I mean, it is the one thing that we are so concerned about, and make sure that we, you know, have to be very careful and not release funds. And depending on some cases, funds might be able to be released if both parties agree in a matrimonial case, for example. But usually the only way to do this is if we get a court order. And that is what will protect, especially when there are claims and other parties are making claims. Parties or none, parties are making claims against funds that an attorney is holding in trust. Well, I think this is the end of the program for today. I'll see you next week. One of the things is we'll play the news and then, of course, get back with the sports guys. So be back in a couple minutes.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Radio News with Audrey Strong.
It's fine. What he can do, whatever he wants to do, it's fine. But I was surprised by it. And by the way, many other people were surprised by it. And some were really surprised by it and not happy about it.
That's Donald Trump, who says the lack of backing from House Speaker Paul Ryan caught him off guard yesterday. But in typical Trump fashion, he's hitting back.